Hello and welcome to another episode of the Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and this is the Emma Gunn Show featuring the Scummy Mummies. By Jiminy, this was a lot of fun. This is what happens when you start recording on a Friday evening with Prosecco and wine and the promise of cheese and salami at the after party, because not only did we record the podcast, we then had an after party, the three of us, which was absolutely the most fun ever. Saturday was a bit of a write-off, I'm not gonna lie. What do we talk about in this episode? So the Scummy Mummies are Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne. They are stand-up comedians, authors. They have one of the best, most popular podcasts on iTunes. They are just a good time, and we talk about so much. We talk about parenting, how they came together in this mutual, isn't it hard, and let's make fun of it, and let's be lighthearted and not take it all too seriously. We talk about how they became friends. Helen talks about flirting, which is when you meet a friend sort of maybe in your 30s or 40s, and you sort of go on coffee dates with them, and it's like friendship and flirting, so we call it, or she calls it, flirting, which I enjoyed very much. They tell me about what it was like to be on Women's Hour, how they started the podcast, what their stage show is like, which sounds hilarious, and they share some anecdotes from the confessions from the live show, which just had me in fits. We talk about colonics, we talk about double cleansing, we have a bit of a fangirl about Caroline Hirons, there's a bit on fashion, and there's a lot about fruit and food as well, which is a recurring theme. Speaking of fruity, there is some fruity language. If you are offended by such things, I would tune out. There are some topics as well that, you know, are a bit close to the mark. But it was a good time. It was all lighthearted and in very, very good fun. So I'm going to be putting all of the links to the Scummy Mummies, their Instagram, their website, the link to their podcast, and also the link to Helen's side hustle, Helen Wears a Size 18, which is about talking about the fact that the average size in the UK is a size 16, yet most fashion outlets show all of the clothes on models that are size 8 and 10. Definitely check that out. The link will be in the show notes. I'm not going to say that the day after recording this podcast wasn't a write-off, because it absolutely was. But it was worth it. It was worth it. Although I did have to delete the Insta stories where I used my brand new podcasting mic to mime Cool Rider from Grease 2. I didn't sing. I just used the mic that I just bought to mime Cool Rider. And it felt like a great idea at the time. When I woke up the next morning, obviously, I quickly deleted them because I felt slightly embarrassed. Which I shouldn't, We talk about Michelle Visage, we talk about visualization, going after the things that you want in life. How do you know that you're funny? We talk about the anatomy of comedy. And yeah, we just, it's a good chat. It's fueled by Prosecco. And I sincerely hope you enjoy it. All of the show notes are on iTunes and on emmaguns.com. If you want to get in touch with the show, it could not be simpler. Just drop me an email to thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. That's the other social media place. My handle is @emmaguns, and I'm always delighted to hear from you. Thank you to everyone, I must say this at this point, who has been leaving reviews over on iTunes. I've had some lovely, lovely comments recently, and also been getting some really great messages from you listeners, so keep it up. I love, 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 love hearing from you, and I do get back to everybody personally as quickly as I possibly can. I hope you enjoy this episode. At this point, I'm going to put the sticker on from my Guns N' Roses CD from the mid-90s that says parental advisory, explicit. So you know what you're getting into if you go past this intro, that's all I'm gonna say. Thank you so much to the Scummy Mummies and to Helen and Ellie for hosting what was an excellent, excellent evening, and I hope you enjoy. This is excellent, listeners. This is my first podcast with Prosecco. I don't yes. think it'll be my last. I am joined by Ellie Gibson.
Yes, and here I am.
And Helen Thorne.
Hello, that's me.
And they are the Scummy Mummies.
Oh, I like that. We can have that for a new theme tune.
Yeah, we'll get Emma to do it. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can sing.
Can you?
I can.
Well, that's more than us. And we do at least three songs in our stage show. So
yeah, maybe. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, maybe we could. You could sing behind the curtain, and we could just mime next time. We could lip sync for our lives.
Ooh, yes, like yes, you've just done RuPaul and me singing in the same space of 10 seconds, and so my brain just exploded. Yeah, that's like Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yes,
singing.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of X Factor people, and RuPaul's Drag Race.
So. Absolutely, just who wouldn't watch that? Who doesn't love Bergerac?
No.
Did I say it was Cyrano? I don't know.
Let's just go with that. Yeah, Singing in the Rain was all about that. Remember that she sings behind the curtain, so maybe we could kind of recreate that.
Kind of curtain?
Well, a curtain on the stage.
She's not thought it through, Emma.
No,
She goes off on a flight of fancy. You just shut it down. The best thing to do is piss on her dreams. Can we swear? Is swearing?
Absolutely. There are boxes
Make it
that
explicit.
I can tick. As I'm sure you well know, because you had former Emma Gunn Show guest Lindsay Kelk on.
Mm.
And I loved the free-flowing profanity. My father will be listening. I'd tune out now. Because normally,
Dad, they're filth bags. Don't.
Yeah. I normally have to give him a heads up. And like, oh, I said the F word in this episode.
And you should see what she's wearing. I mean, goodness, I can see her breakfast. Let's just say that.
Well, nudity is compulsory at Ellie's house. So, I mean, you knew what you were signed up for.
I feel like the chaps are too much.
Yeah,
I don't know about you. I feel very comfortable right now.
Mm. I mean, I'm very relaxed, but it is my house, so it'd be weird if I wasn't.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we were talking before we started recording actually about when I did a podcast in the summer and how I left a heat signature on someone's sofa.
Now I would say that's a polite way of describing it. What's the term you would normally use, Helen?
Well, I usually say like I've left like the Shroud of Turin, when I get up and like a fanny imprint on the seat.
Yeah,
I find it very embarrassing. I did once at a school recital, and they. Do you have this? Find this at your school, Ellie? They give you the tiniest plastic chairs to sit on.
Grey plastic.
Yeah.
Or black plastic.
Yeah, as if you also are a child. Yeah, exactly.
So I squeezed my big bum on the seat and it was hot. And I got up and I just, you know, we were all standing up to clap and there was like an imprint of my fanny. I just wanted to die. I mean, I don't know what to do. You put your handbag on it, then it's just weird.
I mean.
Sometimes you do a little bit of a slide.
Yeah, just to kind of, yeah, I know. And sometimes you can't help it. Oh, it's awful. Why must we go through this?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you tell me you're the one who's imprinting the face of Jesus on leather sofas. You've got the closest connection to the Lord of all of us.
Exactly.
I think if you're blessed with or have worked for a thigh gap, it doesn't really happen. It's when you've got a slightly fuller behind.
Yes.
Which I am a proud owner of. Well, in fact, not a proud owner at all.
What I like is that we've kicked this podcast off with really highbrow, sophisticated, mature chat. That's,
what's this podcast about, Emma?
It's about Prosecco.
That was quite accusatory.
It was.
Sorry.
Why are you here?
Your tone is very pointed right
now.
Sorry.
I was trying to be like, you know, like, so what's this about? But it came out, what the fuck are you doing with your life,
you
Emma?
You sound like an angry therapist. What's your problem with your mother, Emma? What has she ever done to you?
You do sound like you're like, we've talked about this before, Emma.
Sorry, I don't even know where that came from.
We've only been in each other's company for 20 minutes and I've already pissed off Helen. No, well, to answer your question, what is this podcast about? Well, I like to give my listeners a show that is them earwigging on a conversation between hopefully people that they find entertaining and want to hear about. But also, you guys are damn cool, right? And that's my teenage self coming out. But you have done this thing where I'm going to get you to talk about it, how you met and you created the Scummy Mummies and you became a voice piece. That's not even a...
That's right.
A voice mouth. We're a voice mouth.
Mouthpiece.
Shit.
Or bring out the
cognac.
We're
a mouthpiece with a voice, I think you'll find. Yes.
Yeah, it could be worse. And for lots of people who were sick and tired of this whole, Tarquin's been sleeping through the night, darling, and I've been blitzing all of his food. And honestly, he poops like a dream.
That was a very good impression.
Oh, I liked it.
Are you sure you're not a mum? I mean, that was excellent.
I have... Well, no, the thing is, this is what you guys don't realise. Because I don't have children, but I am of childbearing age, skirting through it, people who have children will confide in me and basically bitch about other mums.
Oh.
Which I find really... which I don't like, because I'm like... Oh, you all complain about... No, I mean, I find
you like it,
a
little bit.
I find it entertaining when someone's like, did you see the way that they swaddled their newborn? Honestly, trust me, when it happens for you...
You won't bother doing swaddling, Emma, because who can be asked, really?
I cannot.
Or did you see the temperature that they had that baby's monitor on? You know, there's a lot of Insta stories of people, like, doing, oh, look, baby, through the monitor, and they're like, did you see the temperature? It was 26 degrees, that baby's going to be roasting. So I hear a lot of the bitching.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is actually, which proves that people want to vent and actually say, I don't want to be held to a certain standard.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think, yeah.
I know, it's funny, because I've known Ellie for 4.5 years now, and we've just never had that. We've never had that kind of... judgment, or I think we're both fairly relaxed, but I think that's why we really liked hanging out. We met. Should we just go into that bit?
Am I doing okay, Helen?
I feel really bad. It's weird. Listener, Ellie and I host a podcast, and we're sitting in the same seats, and usually we're the ones asking the questions, so I have to try to let go of the reins, which is weird for me.
You can take the reins. I've got Prosecco in my hand.
Have some more fizz, mate.
I know, just relax. Okay.
Just relax.
Okay, I'll just...
Not too reclined.
Okay. Skin up. Okay. Calm down. Just, you know, just take it easy.
I'm going to have an enema, Helen, and get out. Just loose it. Loose the...
No, go on.
You talked about colonics with Lindsay, didn't you? Actually?
Yes. I've never had one. Have you had a...
Yes. I once had one on my birthday.
We're talking about flushing your arsehole with water.
Oh, mate. What? I mean, how was it?
Well, actually, I've had two. The second one I ever had was on my birthday, and I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the first one.
What was the first one? Christmas, was that?
No, they were different. In that the first one, as Lindsay said, they put the pipe up your bottom. Yeah.
Mm.
And so you're lying on your side, right, knees to chest, up it goes, and then you sort of... go back onto your back, and they massage your stomach, and they're like, oh, that gurgling sound, that's because I've just dislodged something that you ate when you were 7. Whoa. And then, you know,
I'm fascinated. I really want to do that.
Angel Delight comes out, ice magic,
basically all I thought that's about, right,
a Barbie
was
shoe.
All I thought about was every Wham bar, every yes, nougat, every single bit of absolutely artificially flavored crap I'd ever eaten in my life just coming out of my body. And that was fine. So then she did all of that, and she said, okay, I'm going to leave you now, and if you just want to take yourself off to the bathroom, there's a stool in there. If you just put your feet up on the stool, get your knees, you know, quite high up, and just let nature take its course. And so you essentially sit on the loo, and it all comes out. Oh. But the second one that I had...
Right.
She filled me up like a hot air balloon.
Wait, with... Water.
Oh, God, okay. No, with air. No, that would be terrible.
And then you took off like Violet Beauregard in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
She was pinging like a pinball machine across the room. She just kept shit coming out of me.
She kept filling me up, and it was like a scene in a sci-fi movie where it kept looking like I was pregnant and then taking it down and then filling me up and taking me down. And it was, and she kept saying, is that too much? Can you take any more? And so I was like... I don't feel like this is the vocabulary or the dialogue that you should be having when someone has a pipe up your bottom, like, can you take any more? And so in the end, she, like, said, right, that was the last one. He said, okay, I flushed everything out. And so I then thought, well, the last time I had this, a lot of stuff came out, and I spent 20 minutes in a lavatory. And she said, no, you can go now. And so I walked down the street afterwards, and I thought, what if it just falls out of my bottom?
Yeah.
Not realising it was just a very different technique, and she had... basically
she had got it all.
Everything out, yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
And I didn't have any accidents or anything.
Did you feel the same way? Like, was the feeling of lightness and all of that?
No.
I'll get the lady's name from the first one.
Yeah.
I assume it was a lady.
Do you want to do it?
Yes,
do
I'm
it?
Fascinated. I've swallowed a lot of chewing gum in my time, and I feel like it's really? That may have contributed to my weight gain.
That's definitely what it is.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
No, the fact that I'm quite sedentary and I like a lot of cheese. Yeah. I mean,
it's Wrigley's spearmint. That's what it is.
Exactly.
I feel very happy if the rest of the podcast took a cheese flavoured turn.
Oh, wow.
We could be here all night.
But let's go back from my colonic experience to how you guys met.
Yes. No, I think that's a nice segue from your ass.
In fact, that's exactly what you said to me, isn't it, the moment we met?
Let's recreate that magic, Ellie Gibson.
No, we met doing comedy. I was very new. It was my third ever gig that I'd ever done. So I'd had a baby, and then a year and a half later, I thought, I should do something else. Like, most people go, like colouring in books or, you know, windsurfing.
Become mumpreneurs.
Patchwork.
Do comedy. Let's do some comedy. And then on my third ever gig, there you were.
That's right. And I'd done... comedy previously in Australia, and I moved over here. And I had like a 6-year break, like I'd had kids and lost my sense of humour. And I, it was one of those things I thought, I need to do comedy again. That's what actually makes me feel alive. It makes me feel good. And it was that first kind of gig back. I met Ellie. So it was kind of, and it was nice because we met, even though we're mums and we've got boys the same age, we met doing something for ourselves. And you meet so many mums where you're like, oh, we're going to Sing and Sign, or we're going to, you know, Twins Club or whatever. I don't even have twins. Why was I there?
You didn't even
just
have kids
so
then.
Lonely.
She used to, just before she had kids, she just used to go and hang out at Twins Club.
Okay.
Oh, they're so
Muslims.
Cute. The way they all look the same. Yeah. Oh, you freak the mums out, but
yeah,
it was nice.
No,
yeah.
I know. Well, I'm new to the country. So that was really good. And it was just nice to... It's just weird because we met because we were watching each other doing comedy, and then afterwards I was like, I'm going to go up and talk to that woman. She's hilarious. I really like her jokes and her spiffy leather jacket, if I recall correctly.
I was trying to keep it real in those days with my leather jacket. Trying to, hey, I'm more than just a mum. No, you're not, chum. But we found out. So then we got talking, and then we... went on a sort of date, which is quite a weird thing to do when you're like 35, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But we met in a pub and we discovered that we lived 5 minutes apart from each other and that our sons had been born 11 days apart with the same midwife, just by random chance, which was weird. I don't think there are many other comedians on the circuit who had the same midwife as us.
No,
I feel like it's unlikely.
Yeah, and it was a lovely bit. I mean, I don't think I've ever been freaked out by it. It just sort of felt like a really natural, lovely thing. It's like, I met Ellie. I thought she was wonderful. We got rad ass together, which I always think is a great idea.
Oh, I think that's a very good idea.
And it's a funny thing. I like to call it flirting, which is like friend flirting, which it's not in. ended a sexual thing, but you just really
I think you're still hopeful, don't you? She's been trying it on for four, she's been Weinsteining me for 4.5 years. She's been doing it to you as well.
I got the vibe.
I told you not to ask the daughter in your fucking dressing gown. I told you.
So sorry. The fluffy slippers. It's like Mrs. Robinson all over again. I'm so sorry. But yes, I think, especially when you've had a kid, you've got this situation where you're thrown in with mums you don't know, and you're like, oh, you go off and make friends with that.
Can they be dicks?
Yes. Okay. I mean, everyone can be a dick.
Yeah, true.
They can, but also they can be not dicks. Mm. And, you know, in fact, it was my 40th birthday on Saturday and I did a little speech and there was loads of my friends, my parent friends from school there. And I said, you know, and I sort of thanked all my sort of old friends. And I said, it's lovely to see all my friends from school, because before my kids went to school, I was all like, oh, I don't need any more friends. Or, you know, parents, like, whatever. Mm. Why should we just be friends? Just because we've all got kids. And as I said in the speech, you know, quite honestly, I thought you'd all be cunts. But, you know, and they laughed a lot. Yeah. But the point is, they laughed a lot. And I thought, yes, because we
are laughing with
you. I mean, that doesn't matter, Emma. That's not the question.
No. If you get a laugh, you get a laugh.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
But I think that for me has been something I didn't expect about getting a bit older, is making new friends and liking them and it not being convenient. What's that?
There's some kind of farty sound in the corner.
Oh my god, is it a mouse?
No. Okay, no,
is it a stuffed monkey?
Does it make farty noises?
No.
All right, fair enough. Let's just continue.
Is it haunted, Chase? I don't know.
It might. Is it the walkie-talkie? Is it one of my children rolling over?
Yeah, maybe. Sorry. You know me and farty sounds.
It's ambience, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, let's just go with that. Sorry, beg your pardon. Keep going.
Yeah. Lost my train of thought because I was genuinely thinking that something would come out of the fireplace. I don't know. Yes, so you became firm friends.
Yeah, pretty much. And I
would go with just friends, but yeah.
Okay.
Meet soft friends.
Yeah. So your third gig, talk to me about the high of being on stage, because let's face it, there is a high.
Yeah.
It's when it goes well, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's better than...
Mm.
almost everything, I would say.
I would say, absolutely, I absolutely agree. Because it is, it's a very raw experience. You've written something, you've rehearsed it at home, and you're hoping this sea of strangers will laugh. They will laugh at the same time. And when it works, it is an extraordinary thing. And I often call it, like, it's an addiction, because you get that huge big laugh or that big rush or the big cheer at the end. You think, this is delicious, by one another hit. This is, you know, next one, could it be bigger? Could it, this sort of thing. So, it's a really great thing. And what I love, because I was a stand-up for 3 years before I met Ellie, and you'd have a great gig and then you just get off stage and you'd be by yourself and you want to kind of go, and having someone to share that with, and Ellie and I will like drive home, or often if we're away, stay overnight at a very salubrious Premier Inn, that we've got that time to kind of, you know,
go to the vending machine.
Yeah, get some, all the crisps.
Yeah, maybe a Mars bar for ourselves and talk about what massive deals we are.
And I love, we've got to that stage where we kind of go, I was so funny when I did that bit, and then you go, yeah, I was really funny when I did that.
I like it when I really enjoyed it when I said this, and you'll be like, yeah, no, I really liked it when I did this, and I'll be like, yeah. So it is a weird, like, ego wank thing completely.
Oh, absolutely.
Ego wank.
Yeah.
I'm stealing that.
No, good. You're welcome.
There it is. There you take our wank and do with it what you like.
That's something entirely different.
We can talk about that very freely, can't we? We're talking about ego wanking. That's all.
She doesn't like it. She doesn't like talking about wanking.
No. Have you talked about wanking on your podcast before? Let's go there. It hasn't come up. Okay.
I just listened to Jim Jefferies.
Okay.
The comedian on Anna Faris's podcast, Unqualified, and he told a brilliant story about getting caught by his mother masturbating. And I was on the train to work, and I was not even just crying with laughter, but howling with laughter, trying to get on the Southwestern train.
Oh, God.
But just, like, doubled over, just being the weird person. But I would rather be the weird person than the
normal person. Always. Definitely.
That's what I love. I love every day, I just want to have a big laugh. That's the joy of joys. And, like, yeah, I don't mind if I look like a dick ever. Obviously, that's my whole life now, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm the same. But then my thing, I was talking to someone about this the other day, is, like, they're like, what do you think when you walk into a room? So you're talking about personality types. And I was like, well, I want everyone to like me. And if I can make somebody laugh within the first 30 seconds, I'm golden.
Mm.
And they were like, yeah, not everyone walks into a room like that. I was like,
really?
How do other people do it?
I know, and I was like, what do you mean? And like, well, some people will look at, you know, who they can get something from, or some people look and they'll decide that some people are above them and some people are below them. And I'm like, no,
I never thought that way.
That sounds exhausting. That sounds like a lot of admin to do.
Doesn't it?
I walk into a room and go, do I know anyone here? All right. Who looks sort of reasonable?
Yeah, who's kind of friendly.
But
yeah.
How do you make friends in a room? Because my anxiety and my, like, levels of, like, my entire central nervous system just hums when I walk into a room when I don't know anyone. And I just go up to the first person that looks vaguely like I could be, like, they wouldn't tell me to piss off.
Yeah.
Is what I'm really going with. And then I try to make them laugh in 30 seconds.
I think that's great. I mean, you're basically putting yourself on some sort of friendship X factor. I mean, that's... That's a challenge you're setting yourself.
That's right.
But fuck it, if it works, do it.
Yeah, I just go up to people and go, hello. Or often I compliment people because I genuinely like to do that. Oh, I love you.
I like your tits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Are your lips real?
Who's your doctor?
Yeah. You smell amazing.
Yeah. Like, can I lick your face?
And I've noticed as well, you're very good at sometimes at events. If you see someone standing on their own, you're really inclusive and you'll go up to them and be like, hello, what are you doing here? Which I do think is part of your Australianism, because I think British people
never met a bad Australian.
Have you been to Australia?
No.
Well, exactly.
That's what I'm here. But no, I hate seeing people by themselves. If people are looking like that, because I was really bullied as a kid. I've always got that empathy with anyone who's not feeling like they're included. So I always want to make sure
I love that about you, because there are two ways that people go when they've been bullied, and they are like that or they become the bully. I think
most of them become comedians. I think that Because I was bullied at school as well, yeah. Badly, and I've yet to meet a stand-up comedian who was not bullied at school.
No, because you're on an endless quest. It's like a computer game. You go, right, I need the most amount of people to love me.
Yeah,
you're never satisfied, which is a good thing.
Maybe I should be a comedian.
Yes, you should, Emma.
I'm not that funny.
Yes, you are. Yes,
most
you are.
Most comedians aren't, so it's fine.
It's just, yeah, the horrible person that is Woody Allen said success is 80% turning up, and I still use that. You just have to keep going with comedy.
Sometimes I pretend I'm not in, and she still turns up. No, you said I could be on the podcast.
Ellie.
So, okay,
Ellie.
Fine.
Hello.
Ellie.
Okay, so one thing I've interviewed quite a few comedians in my time, and they can be complicated people. These were all men.
Hate them.
Yeah.
Horrible, male comedians. Horrible people. No,
I mean, that's come on.
No, that's not true. No, I'm just being silly. I'm just into silliness.
I think I understand where you're coming from though, because we kind of used to do a lot of open mic gigs, and a lot of the men on the open mic circuit are very angry and very bitter and don't like women very much.
I think their willies shrink a little bit. They're quite, when they're around strong women, they don't quite like it. And I didn't like being patronised, going, oh yeah, how many gigs have you done, and I've done this, and it was a lot of sort of chest beating, I didn't like that part of comedy at all. And I think people are really, they're not very generous backstage. Some comedians can be, and they don't want to chat, and then they won't laugh at your jokes when they're in the audience as well. That's what I don't. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
you do a gig and they just like cross their arms and you all very visually stare at their phone during your set.
That's a dick move.
It's quite dicky. Yeah. But where are they now? They're not sitting in on the Emma Gunn's podcast, are they? No.
They're not.
No.
Yeah. And give me their names and they'll be blacklisted.
That's right. We'll have them killed.
But I think once you get out of that level, like, so I've done a TV show with Dara O'Brien, who obviously is a man.
And also,
I can't say his name. She's jealous.
Daddy, that wasn't me. That was Helen.
She's jealous that I do work with him. If I say his name, it just, she involuntarily throws up. She vomits in her own mouth.
The podcast before.
Not yet. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm going to tell him. I said your name, Dara, and she vomited in her own mouth at the sound of your fucking name.
I had curry before the podcast. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
You lucky bitch.
But I was going to say that he's been very supportive of me, and he's a great supporter of female comedians, and he gets it, and you know, then they're not all cunts.
No, they're not all cunts. And we've had the wonderful Miles Jupp on the podcast, and he is a gentleman, he's funny, generous, and
I just felt like I need to stir.
I'm not a very good burper, otherwise I'd join in.
Oh my god.
Let's see which one makes Emma burp. Let me think. Noel Fielding? No. John Bishop.
But I genuinely can't even do it. No. I'm one of those people.
Jack Whitehall. Yeah.
No, I find him weirdly attractive.
Michael McIntyre. No, nothing's coming up.
Okay, here's a story. On the way to Michelle Visage's podcast, I had to get... I didn't have to, I just elected.
She needed to get one out there.
I haven't had a drink in a couple of weeks and I just need to clear my throat. I took a cab through a certain area of London and the taxi driver was like... You know who that place is? We pulled up outside this like Megatron home, and he said, "That's Michael McIntyre's house." And I was like, I didn't realize he was that funny. It is like a Bond villain's lair.
Wow.
Lair. I said layer, like, it meant lair, like Mary Berry would say it.
Lair.
Honestly.
There's ahead of us, dude.
Apparently there's money in comedy. We have yet to experience
that.
We
should book the O2 in a couple of years. We should just do that.
Let's book it now, mate.
Yeah. I will book tickets to go to that, and not just two. Like, I'll book a group. I'll bring a coach full of people.
If we could get at least 28 people, I think we could book the O2 tomorrow.
Yeah, really. Let's do that.
If you're willing to commit to that, let's do that.
I will absolutely commit to bringing 50 people to the O2.
We can do this, guys. We can make this work.
Yeah. All right, let's say this on the podcast.
I'll give them a ring after this.
Yeah. All right, in 2020, we're going to do the O2. Let's just say that.
That's in 3 years.
Yeah. Do 2019.
All right, let's say that.
No.
Because I've listened to your Michelle Visage. I'm going to do some visioning. Is that what she calls it?
She calls it visualisation.
Let's call it visioning.
I know I want to call it visioning. You know she's got a black Corvette now.
Has she?
She has.
Of course she has. Yeah.
And I visioned her coming on my podcast. Oh. So it does work. And the thing I loved about her is, because I listen to lots of meditations and all that kind of stuff, and I listen to all these podcasts and I try to be less stressed. And the thing I loved about her is she was like, well, the thing is you can just visualise it even if you're on the toilet. I was like, yes! Yes, I don't need to put my yoga mat out and cross my legs, which I can't really do.
No, I can't. I haven't crossed my legs for about 25 years.
Yeah, just...
What a
whore. But I just think about, you know, yeah, I want Scummy Mummies on my podcast. Boom! Here you are.
Ding dong.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's the magic of email, but... Yeah.
No, shut up, it's visarginalisation.
Visargining.
Visargining!
Visarginalisation. Yeah.
If you're listening, Michelle, hi.
We love you.
We love
you. I had a dream the other night that I don't even know why I was there, but I was in LA and I was at some sort of beauty press event, so there were some other beauty editors there, and I was in a real panic because I was like, I have to get my flight. And it was a dream, so it didn't really make sense and nothing was particularly linear. And I was desperate to get out of this location where everyone was like drinking cocktails or whatever and they were seeing a beauty product. And I was like, I've got to get out of this goddamn building. And I opened the door and RuPaul was standing there in like a felt fedora, beautiful like black jacket, not with his arms through the sleeves, because if you're doing it properly, you obviously never use sleeves.
No,
and like, I would imagine it was faux fur and sunglasses, and I just looked up and went, God, in my dream. And he said, oh, honey. And sort of something like that. And I was like, oh, and then I gave him a thumbs up.
Always
that's
cool.
That's what he would want, yeah.
I think that, no, I do actually know that that was what he would want, because he said it on a podcast. He's like, when people say that they are my fan, I don't need them to tell me. I can read their energy. Just give me a thumbs up. And I was like, I respect your boundaries, RuPaul.
We need to know this, Ellie.
It's like when we met the Chuckle Brothers. That's what that reminds me of.
What the actual...
Yeah, well, you say that. One of them rubbed the small of your back.
No!
Enjoy it.
No.
I mean, but just being... I mean, we're saying this on the internet, aren't we? Just being friendly.
Yeah. Just a small rub on the back. We were having a selfie. And then there was some touching.
We won't say which one.
Unexpected touching.
I couldn't tell them apart if the truth be told.
One's like a raisin and one's like a balloon.
They do both have moustaches, though, to be fair. They are both hairy, so...
They still got the same hairstyle.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, how long have you been together? And they were like, 57 years, because they're fucking brothers.
Well, that's like, who was it who asked the cause? How did you meet?
Yeah.
Do it on live TV.
This was just a chat, so
much cooler. This is an interesting angle to come in at, but how did you know that you were funny?
Am I?
No. Just for the record, and I'm sure the listeners will agree, you are funny, but it's one thing to think, oh, I can tell a joke at a dinner party. It's another thing to go up and do stand-up. Like, what's the calling?
I don't know. I think it's like we were saying earlier, like, from being bullied, like, you try and be funny because you kind of go, well, they don't like, I'm no good at sport, and I've got funny hair and funny teeth, and they sort of don't like me, but sometimes I can make them laugh. I've got that. So if I can just build on that, maybe that's my sort of way out of this mess, I think. And I grew up in a funny family. My dad's a comedian and stuff, so I had that. And my mum is very, very funny, even though she's never done stand-up. I sort of was like, well, maybe... But it wasn't till I'd had my first baby and I was sort of in my mid-30s that I thought... Well, maybe I could do this, not for a job, but maybe I could do this on stage. Maybe I could do this. And I've been a journalist, a video game journalist, so I've written funny stuff, but I was like, well, now I've pushed a human being out of my vagina, so what can
Respect
be harder than
that?
I mean, it's not the easiest thing. But also, if I go and try this now, if I go and try stand-up and I fail, it sort of doesn't matter because I'm not 25, this is not my secret dream. I've got this baby that I love and I'm very happy and I've got that to go home to. So I can go to a pub and tell jokes and be shit in front of 12 people and I won't be devastated because I've got loads of other shit to do. I can't be devastated, I've got other stuff. So that was my
thing. Did you also feel like you had stuff that you needed to say.
Not really, to
that
be honest.
Like, that was like a movie trailer.
Yeah.
Stuff that you needed to say.
I love that.
No, comedy for me, which is, my dad was a very political comedian. He's very much driven by sort of socialism, and he was like in the Thatcher era. He was one of those comedians in the Comedy Store with Ben Elton and all that, doing the Running Against Thatcher. And then, but I've sort of, and although I agree with all those politics, I've never felt that driven. I'm more about the attention and the liking.
Absolutely.
Do you think?
A lot of it came for me because I was completely, I don't want to say transformed, but transfixed with watching like Ab Fab and French and Saunders as a teenager. And I just thought they were the coolest people I'd ever seen. They didn't give a shit. They looked like they were having the best time ever. And I just thought, if I could get a tiny slice of that, I feel like my life is, you know, really exciting. And so I kind of knew pretty early on that that's sort of what I wanted to do. And I used to write plays when I was in like year six for the whole class. I'd like write a series of plays.
Yeah, I did that too. That's so funny.
And would write sketches. And, you know, when I was on school camp, I'd always write the funny sketch. I liked being the clown. I liked people. I liked having that attention. I was never sexy, never thin. Was, yeah, really bullied, never good at sport. Obviously, excellent at shot put. That was the only thing.
Were you always like me in the when at school they said, "Right, it's hockey, Emma. We want you in goal." You're like, "You absolute bastard!" Yeah. I know what that means.
Yeah, you're slow and wide.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So I knew I could make people laugh, and also I'm from a massive family, so I had to be loud to be heard. I don't know if I'm funny. I know that I'm a dick, and I'm confident. And that kind of comes together as funny. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So both bullied. So where does the confidence come from? Because I think that takes a bit of work when you've been bullied.
I think that comes from having really nice parents who loved me. So I knew at least two people loved me. And I kind of want, not that it's a revenge thing, but I was so hurt and I don't want anyone else to go through it. So I think my mission or my thing in life is to make people happy, because that experience was so sad. I was like, I don't want anyone in the room to be sad. Mm-hmm. And so being a comedian, that is your job, is to make everybody in the room happy.
Okay, no, I just like attention. I just like attention. And just to show off. There's no.
So you are the yin and yang of female comedy.
No, I think I agree with what she said, but I can't say those things because I'm British. We don't talk about it, but I agree. I agree, in a nutshell.
I'm essentially her ventriloquist puppet.
Basically.
But she will never put her hand up me.
Again, 4 years, she's been fucking every fucking premiere in. Oh, Jesus.
That reminds me of one of my favourite lines from Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
All right.
Ugh,
which
classic.
Is when Tom says to Linda LaHughes something about he's going out with a ventriloquist, and she says, like him to put his hand up my skirt and make my lips move.
Kathy Burt, if you're listening, we love you!
Oh, and we want, both of us, we all want you on the podcast.
All the podcasts, all the Kathy.
The absolute, that again, and also, I then, by accident, years ago, downloaded Gimme, 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 which is a great song, by the way.
Excellent song, yeah.
In, I'm embarrassed to say, I don't know what language, but I now can, Dame, Dame, Dame. Dame.
Yes, I've got that version on my ABBA CD.
We'll listen to that.
Surely Swedish, is it not Swedish?
I don't know.
I just don't want to be
logically,
that person.
Ladies.
I'm not very confident with those sorts of things, so I hedged my bets, but thank you.
I'm quite into obscure ABBA. Do you like a bit of obscure ABBA?
What is obscure?
Go to the albums. For example, Eagle is a classic track. My favourite obscure one is When I Kissed the Teacher.
Oh,
which
I remember
is
that
as weird
one.
As it sounds.
It's not just When I Kissed the Fan.
No.
No.
Well, Agnetta, a fan went to her house and she was like, okay, we'll be in a relationship.
But,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, I'm gonna knock on that door then.
Do you get groupies? Not groupies, obviously, but do you get people who wait for autographs?
Well, no, well, we do book signings after our show, so we get really lovely people who come and buy the book. Or sometimes they bring, what's really nice actually, is sometimes people bring a book that they've already read, or they say they've read it, so they know it's, they know it's shit, but they still want to meet us and have us sign it, which is lovely. And yeah, and we've had some nice moments. Like we were at a festival and this bloke went, "Oh, I can't believe it's you, like you're here." And we were like, "Oh, okay." And I think he went away and he said, "Wait there," and he came and he brought us some lager, I think, which was amazing because lager is one of my top five favourite things.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. And then he came with his wife, do you remember, a couple of weeks ago, to one of the book signings, and he was like, yeah, and she was like, "I didn't believe that he'd met you. I was so angry," and blah, blah, blah. And it was really sweet. So.
Oh, it was really beautiful. Yeah, that was nice.
We should talk about the book because, listeners, the link is in the show notes and it's available to purchase. But what was the transition from stage show to we're going to be authors now?
Well, it actually came because a book agent listened to... we were featured on Woman's Hour a year and a half ago, and a book agent heard
that... Okay, let's just talk about that. Did you... When you got invited, was there a moment of...
Well, this, we weren't even invited. They just, they did a feature about podcasts and they played clips of podcasts. No, we weren't invited.
We just turned up.
I like the idea.
Jane Garvey, let us in!
You just left your house one morning and a shroud was put over your head and you were bundled into the back of a van.
Yeah, that's right.
When you turned up, you were on Women's Hour.
They took it off. I thought we were going to, you know, Guantanamo, but Jenny Murray was there. So yeah. So they just did a roundup of, like, you know, something about women's in podcasts or something.
Mm.
And then, so they played, like, a clip of, like, Serial, and then they played a clip of Us, and then they played a clip of Lena Dunham. And we were like, oh, wow.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they, I don't think they know what they're doing.
No, that's right. This is the top five podcasts to listen to in 2016, and we just happened to be in there too. I thought, just for equality, have some good ones and some shit ones.
Yes.
And,
this lovely lady called Victoria happened to be listening, and she's a mum, and she listened to the podcast and just got it, basically, and just emailed us and said... Mm. Have you ever thought about writing a book? And we were like, oh, okay, maybe. And she got us a book deal, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and it all happened rather quickly. We had to write it very quickly. And then it's been out for a while now.
It's still in print.
Still available. So that was great. And it was a nice little thing. So the whole Scummy Mummies thing basically started with the podcast, and then we did a live show... which we, you know, dick about in cat suits, basically. And then, wrote a book. So that was really nice.
See, everyone should have a tagline, dick about in cat suits.
Mm-hmm.
But so the podcast, a friend of mine put me onto your show, and it would have been about a similar time, because I was like, I'm having a bit of a shitty time and I can't seem to crack a smile. What should I listen to? And my friend was like, you have to listen to the Scummy Mummies, my friend. And then I listened to you, got a wee bit obsessed, and then wrote about my favourite podcast on Get the Gloss and why everyone should be listening to podcasts. But this was 2015 or 16. But anyway, it was a while ago. You hit the podcast circuit super early, particularly for the UK market. We know it's huge in the US.
Mm.
But, like, particularly for the UK, what was it? Why were you like, podcasts, let's do one of those?
Well, because my background is in video games, so I was a little bit techie, and I used to work for this website called Eurogamer, and we'd done a podcast, not that I produced or anything, but I'd been on the podcast then, and enjoyed it, because, like, it was just a chat, and I sort of thought I got what it was about, and then after I met Helen, I just thought, we used to make each other laugh so much, and I thought, well... we could just, let's just record this and put it on the internet.
Mm.
And genuinely, with no view to, there was no conversations about
we hadn't
how
talked
long
about Vegas
going on
then,
for, or,
had we?
Sorry?
We hadn't talked about Vegas.
No, we hadn't talked about
Vegas. I mean, I know what Vegas is. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously that's the end goal.
That's a secret dream.
Oh, a resident.
Yeah.
Well, you know Mariah's is coming to an end, so get in there.
Can sign us up.
Exactly. So, yeah, so when we started, there weren't... And that was some of the early feedback that we got, was that there were no other podcasts for parents that were kind of... There were lots of podcasts about how to parent, how to be a good mum, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But there wasn't anything just to... You know, saggy old bitches going, fuck me, this is difficult, isn't it? Getting pissed. Which obviously the world was crying out for.
It was. it literally was, because we put it out there. I said we Ellie edits it and makes it magical. Yes, and then people listen to it, and we literally have listeners in over 100 countries now, and we get emails every week from people around the world saying, thank you, I don't feel alone, or thank you, I feel normal. And that's probably the best feedback we get, is to make people feel like they're okay.
Well, that's the thing, is when I started mine, I didn't really set out with an agenda. I was just like, I know that I should be doing this, and I will be having conversations with these types of people. And then when somebody messages me and said, just so you know, that podcast made me feel less alone, or less like in strife about this thing that I'm going through, because you're going through the same thing, I'm like, oh, I can't quite emotionally deal with that.
Was that an email from Liz Hurley? Is that what she said?
It was. Elizabeth just said it was the best experience of her life. Yeah. And she wants to come on every week, and I've explained that that's not the format.
No, just leave me alone, Liz.
Very needy.
Yeah.
No, but it is. So the fact that, like, you were just very honest about your situation is like, yeah, it's bloody hard being parents. So we're going to talk about it. And then you did. You gave a voice to all the people who were probably trying to, or being forced by some PTA to do perfect cinnamon swirls at the Bake Off. I don't know what happens at schools.
Oh, don't even get there. Yeah. No, we were just ourselves. I think that's what we've always... And we're very, that's a weird thing to say, we're very serious about always being ourselves and always being authentic, because we can't be, we'll feel like dicks if we were trying to be, you know, the atypical mother or the perfect mother or whatever. And I think that's what's really nice. And like, I mean, we obviously do the podcast and we do the live shows, but it's interesting that things like social media and Instagram is a way in which we've gathered followers, and also we get a lot of response. And so we do, you know, a couple of posts every day about our daily lives, and they can be some of the most rewarding things as well. Like, I just took a photo of my dirty washing, for example, today, and you get like 50 comments of people saying, oh, that looks like, thank God, that's reality that you don't see on Instagram or whatever. So that's kind of nice.
Whereas I was like, oh God, are they a bit stretched at the end of the week? Should I give them an out just in case they
want to get away from my washing, Emma. This is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, ooh, they look like, okay, maybe I should just say, you know, we could do it another time.
No.
Listeners, they were like, what are you talking about? Snacks have been bought.
Yeah, no.
Get over here.
Fuck you, I've got some Doritos. Fuck you, you're coming to my house.
You didn't say Doritos. I didn't know that. I would have been here at 4 o'clock.
Lime ones.
Oh, she's the best. She likes the tangy.
Oh, I really like my leg then by smashing my leg. But the lime ones are the best. I discovered, jeez, that hurt. I discovered those on a trip to America in 1999. It's the first time I went to America by myself. And my mission was, I don't know why I'm going into this story, but let's just do it.
I'll get to my wine while you tell the Doritos anecdote. Yeah. It'll be fine.
So,
I feel like you should probably fill it later. Just leave me
later. I will fill you in later.
But write it down, Helen. Write all this down.
Doritos, go.
Transcribe this. Because before, back in the day, in 1999, England only had cheese and cool.
Yeah.
We didn't have hot, we didn't have like
the extra cheese.
You didn't have the extra cheese, you didn't have the ones that you get now, which is like a potluck.
Oh, I don't like those. It's too spicy.
I've never tried it.
No, don't, listener.
So I went to, because I'm a cultured person, when I landed in Boston, I went straight to a Walmart, or it could have been a Kmart. And I went straight for spray cheese and Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
To recreate the scene from Witches of Eastwick.
Yes.
Where they drink martinis.
Yes.
And have...
spray cheese and crackers.
Spray cheese and crackers. Yes.
Oh, see, this is why we're going to be friends for life, Emma.
I was hoping that is actually in the contract for anyone who comes on my podcast. If you hear any clanging at the moment, listeners, it is wine.
It's ambience. It's ambience.
That's how we like to roll
it's
on a podcast.
Don't be
We're having Villa Maria because it was on special at
Villa Maria is my favourite.
It is.
That's Gino Giannelli thing.
Oh, that's very nice.
Thank you.
You can edit this out later, future Emma.
No,
I think it's ambience. It's very nice.
I don't edit the podcast for a couple of reasons. A, I like authenticity, and B, I don't know how, and C, I do know how, but it's just time consuming, and I just think it is exactly as you say, ambience. It's what goes on. We're having a drink.
Yes, yeah.
If we edited out the pouring, we're not letting the listener into the experience.
In a minute, I'm going to do my ping pong trick. I mean, they won't see it, but they'll hear it.
Just to know, my burp will actually go into the podcast. Great, good. I'm so used to Ellie just mopping up my messes. No. I'm like,
you don't think I'd have cut that out, do you? Cut me.
Because I'm really kind, what I'll probably do is I'll isolate it and turn it into a text message alert and email it to you. So that
you can have it as my ringtone.
Yes.
That's what I would like. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I think God, that's what the iPhone was actually built for.
Yeah, we all know that. Porn yeah. and burp gifts.
I'm going to personalise your numbers in my phone so that your burp is your text message.
Yes.
And your burp is your text message.
She's on it.
Which we're will in force the future. Us into conversation.
Yeah, I'm in.
We were talking about, yeah, so basically recreated Witch of Eastwick. I could get into a very long discussion here about
aerosol cheese. I mean,
aerosol cheese. Any cheese.
Yes.
But aerosol cheese.
Mm. Have you ever met a cheese you didn't like?
No, I don't. No, I really like it. You're not a big fan of the goat, are you?
I don't mind goat. I don't like it when they put fruit in it. I don't like an apricot cheese or like a cranberry Stilton.
Like it's cranberry.
It's bullshit. It's like, let's not start with the Hawaiian pizza conversation again.
Oh, okay.
Must we do this every time?
I now feel like you have walked in on a married couple. Like,
no, but I'm with you. I'm all about a Hawaiian pizza and I will throw black olives on the top.
Oh!
I'm an animal.
Savages.
I'm a monster. No, I love a Hawaiian
pizza. Let's hang out.
Yeah. Fruit in food is fine by me.
Yeah, I do. I like pineapple in a curry too. I'll just say it.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, I've had a Thai curry served in a carved out pineapple and I had a good time.
Did you gnaw it? Once the curry was done, did you gnaw it?
It was a duck and pineapple creamy cut. I know, Ellie's.
Cream was right. No,
wait, duck and pineapple.
Oh, it was duck and pineapple.
That's like a.
How drunk were you?
Like a gamey pina colada. That sounds disgusting. Emma's snorting wine.
Emma may leak in every orifice right now.
A gamey pina colada.
It sounds disgusting.
Okay, yeah, so pina coladas. The future,
when you have the Las Vegas residency, because this will happen, and I will be very supportive and I will
thank
visit.
You. We're going to dress you up as a white tiger. And I'm going to savage you. I'm going to tame you, and then you'll savage me, and I'll be in hospital. You can't say that. Is he still alive? Did he make it out?
He did.
It's fine, then. You can say it.
He'd be a bit
he's
twitchy.
He's probably not listening.
No, I don't think it's...
Dare you.
I just meant because the tiger's eaten all the podcast machines.
She's big in the magician community, Ellie. Shut up!
I've got to stop digging myself out of this hole.
Honestly. Number one on iTunes.
Currently number one. We're just.
Oh my God, let's have a podcast fight. That would be, you know, but... Yeah, anyway.
Pod off.
Oh, it could be like an Anchorman when the different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We get the mummy podcasters, we'll get the,
the beauty podcasters, and then, oh, amazing.
Caroline Hirons will just like murder us
all. So I will have Caroline Lindsay in my corner, so we'll have
Mother Pucker and Giovanna, and like just, and then there'll just be, I don't know, Richard Herring on his own with a chainsaw.
That's right. Adam Buxton pissing on us all.
In fairness, it wouldn't be as, Caroline Lindsay and I could do some damage, but we could. Caroline's a force to be reckoned with. Caroline bollocked me on text today, which was excellent.
Oh, what for? What did you do?
No, she was just saying you just need to get a backbone about something. She was like, for God's sake, guns.
I like that.
No, we're just excited that you've got Hirons on your
on your
phone.
Or we can send her a voice note after this.
Let's do that. Where does she live? Go to her house. She lives in Brighton, doesn't she?
I will send you the coordinates.
Okay, great.
I'm going to say yes, but the answer is no.
I don't, because I bumped into her in the street a couple of months ago. I just saw her and I was just like, you like Caroline. And she was like, yeah. And I was like,
Caroline of Hirons. Really
yeah. And so she has no fucking clue who I am. So let's not say anything bad.
No, she's amazing in every way.
She is a full-on badass mother effer.
Yes.
And she's really protective and mothering in a really excellent way. So like when I'm having a bit of a crisis of confidence about something, she's like, guns, because she calls me guns. In fact, that's why the podcast is called The Emma Guns Show, because she was like, don't call it Emma G, call it Emma Guns, because that's who you are. You're in my phone as guns. And then, she'll be like, do this, because she's found her voice.
Yeah.
She's really confident with it and she knows her shit. So she won't take any garbage from anyone, and she's got really strong boundaries, and I really respect that because I have zero. I'm built and working on them.
Do you feel like you have not found your voice yet? Is that the thing?
A little bit, but it started with the podcast. Right. Definitely. Definitely. I always used to... And I... Caroline said something recently on Instagram or Facebook, and she was talking about... she was taught that if you don't stand for anything, you fall for... If you don't stand for something, you fall for everything.
Mm.
And I realised that I'm like complete Switzerland on every social media platform, and I'm a bit worried about saying something in case somebody says anything back. And it really made me think, and I thought, nah, no, Emma, you actually are quite an opinionated, moody cow. Stop showing
Own that cow, Emma, own
it. I do get really cross about things, and I think because a lot of the time I'm Switzerland, people are a bit like, you on your period. And I'm like, no, I really genuinely feel strongly about this. And so, yeah.
I mean, I know you're a big Trump supporter, for example. There's that, isn't that?
Well, I mean, let's face it.
It just makes sense.
If anyone's going to make America great again...
is that a giant chicken nugget?
This is on my list of things to talk to you about. And you can tell the things that I wrote when I was sitting down at a desk, and you can tell the things I wrote on the train on the way here. Hashtag fake Melania.
Oh!
I am obsessed!
Oh, I know. So I watched a lot of clips about this last night. So have you seen this, Ellie?
No.
They think there's been a stand-in. Like, there's people been, like, analysing her face. Like, she was wearing massive glasses.
It looked like an acrylic
Oh, my God, like in The Phantom Menace where there's two Natalie Portmans.
Yes.
I'm such a nerd.
Yeah. But, yeah, so...
No.
Yeah, it was awesome. I spent a lot of time on the internet looking at it.
It doesn't look like Melania.
Different lips, God. Slightly shorter face.
Different nose.
And he's just like...
Massive sunglasses. Yeah. Completely different hairline. Looks like an acrylic wig.
But she's got a bodyguard that looks a lot like her, and she's slightly shorter, and everyone's like going,
oh my God, it is like The Phantom Menace.
Whoa!
Oh my God.
I know, I loved the internet for that last night. I was like, I could watch TV and or have sex with my husband. I'm like, I'm doing fake Melania.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, I'll say this. Have you ever seen me and Melania in the same room? No, you fucking haven't.
You both got excellent
eggs. I've got a picture on my phone that I have to show you after this, which is amazing. I can't say any more. Sorry, listeners.
Podcasts.
Sorry. There is something. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Moving swiftly on. Yeah, but I looked at it and I was like, yeah, no, that ain't Melania.
Mm.
Melania was like, I'm staying in New York City this weekend.
Yeah. And he kept saying this, as you would know, with my wife, Melania, just standing here. I was like, it was weird.
He's so sick, you can't even keep up the present. It's like someone in a fast going, yes, I definitely haven't got you a birthday cake in this suitcase.
There are no bombs or weapons concealed in this. Yeah, exactly.
But there was also footage of him when she was wearing the, like... Hey, not honey, because he would never call her honey, but like, Melania, Donald wants to let you know that we're going to a briefing and there's going to be army personnel. He's going to be wearing a khaki jacket. We think you should wear a baseball cap and muted makeup. And she sits at those things in like, looking like something out of G.I. Jane.
Yeah.
Like, beautiful makeup and a baseball cap. And he said to her, he said recently on camera, and Melania wishes she could be here, and she's next to him.
Oh, this is
do you
real.
Think it's like the Tupac hologram?
I mean, it's almost like he's some sort of weird, fucked up fantasist liar who is completely lost touch of reality and doesn't really know what the fuck he's doing, isn't it? It's almost like that.
It is.
Maybe she's a robot like from Westworld, Ellie.
Maybe.
I haven't watched Westworld.
Oh, I love Westworld. So good.
It's quite disturbing. I tried it because Ellie tells me about these television shows that she watches, and then I have a go, and then I have to go back to watching Have I
she
Got
watches,
News for
yeah,
You?
She watches The Bake Off and The Queen's Speech.
Oh,
that's basically
can we talk about The Bake Off? Are people up to date?
No spoilers.
Oh,
I cried.
I cried
in the most recent episode. Like, literally... buckets of tears.
Gonna
it's just cakes.
No, it's not. It's emotions. It's people's lives and dreams.
I haven't engaged with the most recent series, not because it switched to Channel 4, but just because I missed the first episode and then was like... Oh,
you're not emotionally involved in the characters.
No, but then I spend a lot of time being emotionally involved in RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm.
And I think that validates me.
That's not a waste of a life. No, that's worth it. You know, cake versus dressing up in women's clothes. I mean, it's a fine line.
Making cakes and making clothes. I mean, look... Yeah. Both shows provide joy, so that is fine, absolutely fine.
Thank you, Marie Kondo.
Yeah, all right.
I'm all about joy.
Yeah.
On
joy
every
to
level.
The world. Yes.
Now, you bring joy to lots of people in your shows. Do you like
Ideally.
That professional level segue?
Yes.
It felt professional when I listened back. It felt like you definitely had some wine.
You like joy. I was talking about that.
I like a little bit of joy.
I hate joy. I'm against it.
If only the world just embraced joy.
Imagine if I just go, no, Emma, we deliberately try to take away people's joy with our live shows. It's
That's
dreadful.
Right.
Then I'm confused by what you stand for. Then, so tell me about, there's a segment in your show called Mummy Confessions.
Yes.
So talk the listeners through what that is about.
Right.
Well, I think it's probably a self-explanatory, but let's just get you
okay. through it. So it's basically, let's be honest, it's the best bit of the show. So we do our show. So our show is like a bit of stand-up, a bit of sketches, a bit of singing. Like, it's all very silly. And then we give everyone in the audience a card and a piece of, and a pen. And we ask them to write down their scummy mummy confession, which is basically their sort of story of parenting failure, isn't it?
Yeah, so that little, oh, you know, and you probably have one every single day. Something like when the kid craps themselves and you don't have fresh nappies, or you laugh so much you wet yourself in the car. I don't know. Or your kid does a shit in a swimming pool and you have to clear out the entire centre parks. Totally random, made up things that never happened to me.
Yeah.
So we collect those during the interval, and then at the end of the show we have basically a scum off, and so Ellie and I will have selected sort of like the 10 best scummy mummy confessions from the audience, and then we
get them to say higher or lower, decide which is the scummiest,
mm-hmm.
and then whoever ends up at the top, like, we then kind of make them come on the stage and we crown them and give them like a robe and a prize, yeah. and it's hilarious.
I want to be a terrible parent.
I mean, I honestly, it is the best bit of the show, which is sort of annoying because it's the bit we didn't write and we can't predict.
Yeah.
No creative input into,
sure,
but
yeah.
There's nothing we could ever write that is funnier than these stories, mm-hmm. that we get, and we keep every single one of them. So we have shoeboxes full in my shed. Some of them went
thousands
in the book, actually, quite a lot are in our book. So all the confessions in our book are real.
That's
confessions
a
from our
book
show.
In itself.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a stocking filler. Yeah. So. So I'm trying to think, the most recent winner we had...
My favourite one recently was the one about a woman had three children.
Yeah, oh yes.
And she had a fancy auntie coming over, and she said, go on, go and get dressed, right? So the older two came down, beautifully dressed.
She said, put on your best clothes.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So they came down in like their posh outfits, and like the four-year-old...
Well, it took ages.
Yeah,
she didn't know where the four-year-old gone. And so they're all waiting downstairs, and then the four-year-old marches down the stairs wearing... the mother's French maid's outfit.
Amazing.
Oh my god.
And holding a wand.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just
are you
amazing.
Sure it was a wand?
And so this confession, which obviously is brilliant, quite rightly won the competition in this stage show.
Mm.
And then so we got, and very bravely, and what I love is we only have one person review, they always come up on the stage. So she came up on the stage and we had a laugh. And it turned out she was with her husband. He was in the audience. And Helen was like, so what did you dress as? The pool boy? And he just went, gladiator.
Oh, it was best night of my life. Like, and everyone was just like cheering. So there was 200 people cheering these people about probably one of the most humiliating experiences they've ever had. But that I think is the wonderful thing about the show that we do, is that you feel supported.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're championing the hard times, and you know, if only in life when you're going through something shit, you had a team going, you're doing great. This is awesome. We're with you. So I think that's nice at the end of it. Sort of people feel kind of elated that it's like, you know, they're all right.
Yeah, and I think now talking about it, it almost sounds like bullying, but it's not, but it's sort of the opposite, because it's about, because, you know, all these other people had read out their confessions and our confession, and so it's more about, by the time you get to that point, it's like, look, we're all in this together, we're all in this shit, we're all finding parenting hard and funny, and our children are all doing hilarious things, and, you know, we're just in this together.
Yeah.
And I think if she hadn't felt that way, I don't think she would have come on the stage.
No.
And,
yeah.
But as I say, we have total confidence that they will come up, because we try to create that atmosphere of, look, we're all fucking this up and doing the best we can, and here we are, let's just celebrate it. And people seem to love that. So
yeah.
It's good.
You created a really safe space.
Yeah, I like that. You know, what's that thing about, you know, I wouldn't want to be in a club that I was a member of. But actually, I do want to be in that club.
No,
you
wouldn't
want to be in a club that you're a member of. You are in a club if you're a member of a club
that would have you as a member.
Yes, yes. The Groucho Marx.
Quiet out loud, Ellie. It's been like three drinks.
I always fuck up this. You know, I always fuck up that quote. I was like, oh, is that Homer Simpson? You're like, no, it's Groucho Marx. Oh, God.
No,
anyway.
No, it's good.
Anyway.
I'm glad as comedians.
To have
that you don't
or
F
not
up
to
your
have. No, wait.
Punch
yeah. Yeah. It's good.
No, I generally love all the people who come to our show and who message us on Facebook and email us as well. They're all great because we're all kind of going through it together.
If life gives you lemons, make life an ace. Exactly.
But it's a bit like saying to J.K. Rowling, you know, when you were writing that book in the cafe, you know, when things were tough, did you ever think that you'd be, you know, this amazing franchise and these movies and make multi-million pounds? And she'd go, well, of course I didn't. Flipping no. But when you started out, you probably didn't realise you were going to create this.
That's weird. No, I think it's probably next door.
Yeah, this like really safe space. And you probably, I'm guessing, weren't necessarily... You didn't know what kind of feedback you would get. Then when you started to get it, it must have been freaking amazing.
Yeah, and I think, we always just do it for... Like, we don't want to overthink it. We just always ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think... I think our listeners and our followers are smart. They get if we're being inauthentic and all that sort of stuff. So, I always do anything that makes me laugh, really. What about you? What are you doing?
I'm just pissing about, mate. Not really thought about it that
hard. This is the thing, is that like often we'll be driving back from a gig or after a gig, you know, and we've been dicking about on stage in gold cat suits. We're like, we've just been paid money to be slags. Like, this is okay. This is a really good life choice that we've made. We made a bunch of people laugh and we're making, you know, some money from it. It's what a wonderful life. This is a lovely, lovely time.
Exactly. And one of the things I was going to say is that some people are going to look at you and they're going to think, God, you're living your best lives. You're doing what you love.
Yeah
And that's not to say we are, and it's not to say we don't have other stuff going on in our lives as well.
Yeah,
and we're mums and we genuinely find that challenging sometimes as we're exploiting for money. So it's not like our lives are perfect
or anything.
It's better than
exploiting children for money.
Anyway, everyone makes their own choices. But no, we're just massive show-offs. We just want all the attention for ourselves. Thank you very much.
It does feel like a wonderful adventure that I do feel very lucky to be on and lucky to be sharing with someone whom I genuinely just like. It's like having another partner who you just really... get on with and like and don't have to have sex with. And I mean, that's dream, isn't it?
So dreamy. Yeah. We go out, Ellie and I go out and have really nice meals together and they're like, go home and not have sex with each other.
We don't even have to sleep in the same fucking bed.
Fucking lovely.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So when you premiere in it,
yeah,
no pressure.
No.
Twin room and we take it into, because I don't know if you, I'm sure you're familiar, Guns, with the premiere in twin room setup.
When people call me Guns, it makes me so happy.
Well, I feel like I'm just going to have a Caroline.
Even though I feel like next time I go to America, I'm going to get pulled. It's going to be a challenge when I go through security, even though I have never fired a firearm in my life. But thank you.
But if you get a twin room, you have the double bed, and then you have they've turned the couch into a single bed.
Yeah.
And we take it in turns to...
It's your turn on the double next time. Yeah.
What I loved is, because listeners, if you follow the Scummy Mummies, and if you aren't, then... by Jiminy, you should be. There was an accident, wasn't there? There was a mishap in the sense of you accidentally stole.
Oh, yes!
From Premier Inn. And it would be what in a fancy home would be called, like...
It's called a bed runner, I believe.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know what I call mine. I just put it on the end of the bed.
Have you got nice one? Have you got one in your house?
Well, okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love you.
No.
I
got given it years and years and
like
years ago.
Yeah.
It was, I think, would have been 2003. Mm-hmm. I was given in this sort of silk long pouch... A cashmere throw.
Cashmere.
It was when Beauty had loads of money,
right?
So they, it was like Agent Provocateur underwear, like the tie side underwear.
Oh yes.
And then this cashmere throat, and I forget what the brand was because ultimately I was just ripping open the packaging. What's my present? What's my present? But it's about a foot and a half wide, and it's about 6 feet long, and so it just sits, and it's sort of cashmere brown, sort of brown. It's like a nice brown, and I just put it over the end of my bed, and it just does complete the room.
It does, a little highlight.
How have you kept the moths away? Have they not had a go at it?
No, but I did get sent ages ago this incredible, it was Alexis Carrington Colby vibe.
Yes.
Throw. Yes. Not throw, sorry, wrap.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Bright red, and all of the edges were covered in feathers. And,
Shut up.
Oh my, I wore it to a press dinner once at like some fancy Cotswold based hotel. And I was like, hi, yeah, I'm Emma Guns and I mean business. And I just thought I was the absolute don because it was like bright red and it had feathers on it. I was like, yes, I finally became Joan Collins. And so it was hung on the back of the door in my home for about 18 months because you don't really have occasion to wear a feather trimmed bright red shawl.
No. I mean, speak for yourself, school run. Off we go.
Splash of colour. Just a splash of
usually
colour.
Usually I'm hoodie, a pop. Low slung jeans and Converse or trainers or the like. And I thought, oh, do you know what? Today I'm feeling a bit fruity. I'm going to go and try that red throw on. It was teeming with moths. I had no idea that underneath all my coats on that rack on the back of my door, it was a planet of moths. So was a big extermination situation.
Oh. Did you? What happened? Did it survive?
It was there was. It was like piranha. You dipped a human into piranhas for 15 minutes and brought it out. It was just nothing left. Like a stray feather.
Oh.
And it was terribly sad.
What did you wear to the cocktail event instead, though? Where do you go from feathers? That's what I'm saying.
Where do you go from feathers? I mean sequins.
Yes. Naturally. Okay, yes.
But you know that the big trend at the moment is muted sequins.
What is that?
And it's like, why?
If it's not... Go shiny or go home. I mean, really.
Thank you, Ellen.
People are bullshit.
I don't want...
Screw you, fashion council, or whoever you are.
Yeah.
Don't give me a muted sequin.
No.
Right.
Clipboard of
glad you've done that. Tick that fucking box.
Good.
Right, I have
hashtag
a clipboard.
Hashtag fake Melania. Hashtag muted sequins. Done.
Muted. We are. Can we just all agree with the I? Just say I. We're all against muted sequins.
Yeah, done.
Right. We're going to close with. Can you help me? Well, you can't help me, Helen, because it's not going to happen to you until next year.
I'll step out.
No, don't step out.
I'm just gonna pour myself some more wine because I'm really not drunk
if
enough.
You're pouring.
Oh, come on now.
You have
your 40s chat.
Yeah, so you have just turned 40.
I have, yes.
Mine is 2 months away. Oh no, less than 2 months away now. So what should I be prepared for?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't a big deal for me in terms of I haven't yet had a midlife crisis. Maybe that happened to me. In fact, a friend of mine said to me, oh, it's not when you turn 40 because that's like a big celebration. Mm-hmm. It's when you're like 43, 44, then you start going, oh no, like I'm going to die. So that's something to look forward to.
Good.
It's nice of him to share that with me. But I had a big party, mm-hmm. Pub. So we did a speech, did some songs. We did some songs. We did...
Songs. What?
So we did a version of the Golden Girls theme tune, Thank You For Being a Friend.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you for being my friends. It was all like that.
Yeah.
And then...
dun, dun, I was going to go into it.
Travel down the road and back again.
Yeah. I don't want to get... have to pay for this. So let's do that after the after party.
And then we did... And then for our finale song, my dad did a speech. It was very good. And then for a finale song, we did... I've had the wine of my life. I mean, the whole song about wine.
Yeah. Complete me.
Which ends in the lift.
Yeah.
Wait.
So, yes, the
Who was Swayze, lift. Emma? Who was Swayze?
I'll tell you this. When I was... I've always battled with my weight, but when I was significantly heavier and I was working for... I was selling software over the phone before I realised become a journalist and get free beauty products. We had like a team night out on one of those boats on the Thames, but it was like dirt cheap, like
jacket potato and loads of foil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Southern comfort and lemonade kind of a night. What? And yeah. One of the guys...
I once had anal sex after drinking too much Southern comfort.
Crikey.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Listener, it's taken an hour, but now we're getting into it. We're getting down.
I feel like the Emma Gunn show has yeah.
Has finished.
This is the last episode. Yeah. Did you like it?
If my Instagram followers go down to zero...
It's not the same, is it?
It's literally not the same. It's the wrong fucking hole. I mean...
No, that's not...
I just have the Southern comfort, but whatever.
No, just to be clear, that's not what happened to me, but basically...
Jack and potato, Southern comfort. I mean, it's a natural conclusion. When,
help yourself, son.
When I'm really going to move this along.
I'm so relaxed.
I'm on a boat.
But... there was some... I was just fresh out of university.
North at Sierra, south at Sierra, anal sex.
Oh, there she blows. I'm so sorry, Emma. Do talk.
No, so basically...
Dogfish and German fight. Ow, ow.
When you're on a boat, yeah. when your company has paid for you to go on a boat... You, the thing that you forget, because you're like, yay, you can take that out, you can't get off. You can't be like, oh no, I've got to like, neighbour needs me to let them into their flat because they've forgotten their keys. So you're on the boat, and there were some shysters in that team at the particular time.
Shush.
And oh, is that bad?
No.
Is that your
I can't stop word. Thinking about the yeah. comfort.
No, I know. Okay. But I'm moving on. But basically, we were on the back of the boat.
Helen, come on now. She's trying to tell us about...
Because I was...
She was at the back.
Yeah, no, I was at the back of the boat. Bow. And because I'm a rude person that didn't realise it, I was shouting to people on bridges, help me! Save me! And obviously, my managing director's there going, well, we've paid for this, you ungrateful bitch.
Yeah.
And then, like, one of his minions... That song came on, Time of Your Life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like Crazy Stupid Love. This guy goes, hey Emma, should we do the lift and I'll break my back? I was like, oh, that hurt my feelings. And then I couldn't get off the boat, so I nearly dove into the Thames, but we know how well I did.
We'll have him killed. What's his name?
I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, great. Well, that's a nice
Donald
way to end
Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's a nice way to end in the podcast, isn't it?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you had it up.
I think it's just a day, isn't it? It's just a birthday. Like, if you feel shit or good the day before, I don't feel you're going to feel radically different the day after.
It's like the millennium.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
It's a build-up.
It's like, the millennium, ordinary, just the same as.
Yeah.
But I am having a festival, and you will be getting invites to it.
Excellent.
I'm having hashtag 40 days of 40.
Good idea.
Because I'm a Christmas baby, I've never really had parties. My birthday is 17th of December. It always used to fall out term time.
Yeah.
It wasn't really practical to have parties. So I've never really done a birthday celebration. And every time I've tried to organise something and people have been like, oh, it's our Christmas party that night, I can't come. I've gone, oh, God, that means they hate me. So I've always cancelled all of my birthday celebrations. So this year... 40 days of 40 every single day.
I can't come, I hate you, I can't come to any of them, I'm busy for the 40 days. Is that?
I'll come to everyone. I'm very needy and I like to be liked.
So me too.
So are you having a celebration every day for 40 days?
Yeah, but okay, I'm not made of money, and the premise is just every day doing something that I love and doing something. So it could be you and I, we all have lunch.
Yeah.
Ooh, why not? Let's
love
do
Nando's.
It could be we all listeners. We have a mutual friend called Mary Kate, and we who also is Camilla. We have a team lunch, and things get wild.
Or it could be that we have a little too much Southern comfort, and one thing leads to another. Next thing we know, we're going back to
premiering
the colonoscopy or whatever it is. Where we have the
colonic
water
irrigation.
Up the end,
well, maybe
flush that out.
Can you take any more?
Yeah.
No.
It could just be
I live near a really gorgeous park and that cost me nothing, and it's like giving myself the time off and saying, right, I'm going to go and have a really nice walk in the park, and I'm going to listen to the Tim Ferriss show or whatever podcast, obviously the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Obvs, yes.
And then I'm listening to, but it's not about spending loads of money on everything, it's just about taking a moment to sort of celebrate and do something I love every day, which actually we should all do every single day of the year.
Every day should be a festival.
I'm really bad at that, so I'm calling it the 40 Days of 40 Festival. And I'm just,
I love it.
Good on
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And also, how do you look like this? Like, your skin is amazing. How have you...
Truthfully, and my good friend is Nadine Baggett. Do you know Nadine Baggett?
No.
Okay, Nadine Baggett used to be the beauty director of Hello. She was beauty director of Hello for 20 years. Do you remember an ad in the early 2000s? Hi, I'm Nadine Baggett, celebrity beauty editor. Pentapeptides. That was her. But she is a dear friend of mine, and she has all the skincare knowledge. She's been on my podcast twice. Definitely listen to it, or I can hook you up with a meeting.
I love meetings.
In fact... If you quizzed her about beauty on your podcast, it would blow your mind.
Mm.
She's been on mine twice, and I still get emails about, oh my god, she's like, she said what? Like, she's the lady who tells the truth about beauty.
Mm. So what did she tell you? What did she say?
Basically, she's just like, when I'm like, oh, I just do this, she's like, oh, you're an idiot. Yeah. And she'll tell you the truth about Botox, she'll tell you the truth about filler, she'll tell you how to do them, she'll tell you why putting oil on your face is complete wank.
What?
I know that you're a big fan of the Aurelia cream.
Yes, I do.
But she will tell you why everything doesn't make sense. It's all marketing hype, and she will give you the like linear. She will literally give you the shortcut to your best skin. Now, me, this is not why I have good skin. I have good skin genetically, as my parents look great for their age.
Mm-hmm.
Although, have you noticed the asymmetric ears?
No,
literally not.
No,
look at them now. My tagline. Was going to be, because my brother did my logo, and I was looking for a tagline, and he said, Emma Gunn, she's all ears.
He sounds great. I mean...
one of them is really sticky outy, and one of them is flush to my head.
It's very subtle. I can't tell.
It's charming as opposed to off-putting.
Yeah.
Anywho.
It's not what I have. I mean, it's like one tick goes down to a knee.
I've got a really asymmetric nose. I've got a really wonky nose. Do you know
have you?
That?
I didn't
look,
know
look out,
that.
Look out, look out, look out.
But you see, this is it. I would literally have... Yeah. I'm not being polite. I've never noticed that. I've never looked at your face and thought your nose is wonky.
My nose is so wonky. It's ridiculous. Also, now look at my nose. It's really, really wonky.
No, I'll never be able to look at you again.
I know, right? I'm so wonky.
No.
But anyway, partly because I've never had a healthy range BMI, and being a little bit helps you with your plumpness.
Mm-hmm.
Fat
don't crack. Someone
fat
said.
Fat don't. Oh my god! I never heard that. I am owning that shit. That is, yeah. That's it.
Done.
That's it. The done.
Well, so, you got a fat crack.
Oh yeah. If your fat don't crack, then your fat, your crack is fat. Pay off.
I like it. It's a convoluted hashtag, but I think it could work.
But it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but also good skin is... My skin changed when I started double cleansing, to bring Caroline Hirons into the conversation.
Ooh, and
again.
Lindsay Kelk said the double cleanse as well.
Yeah, because essentially you take off the grime, and then you, with like something balmy, maybe a balm that turns to oil, or a cream, or...
I'm back on the Oscar. Back on the... Do you like the Renaissance?
Get you with your Oscar Renaissance.
What are you talking about?
She knows.
It's high-end. But then the next step, you use like a cream cleanser to actually cleanse your skin. My skin used to be really dry and dehydrated, or so I thought. Until I double cleansed. And then when you use that second step, you're actually in the process of cleansing, because you're using a cream formula.
Yes.
You're moisturising and you're hydrating and you're softening your skin. So then when I would cleanse and I would use my flannel, and I used to iron my flannels. I don't anymore because I don't have time.
Get over it.
Do you ever clean one every day though?
Absolutely.
Of course, you're not fucking savage. Exactly, Thorn. Exactly. Listen.
One side, next side.
No.
All right.
Yes.
I'm back into your camp.
Okay.
So, but yeah, after that, my every time I used to cleanse, because I'd use foaming cleansers because I like the squeaky clean feeling, my skin would be like, give me moisture. And I would put masks and serums and all sorts of crap on my skin. As soon as I started double cleansing, and I was actually like satisfying that thirst with the cleanse step, my moisturisation step became so much easier. I've realised how much of a Real Housewife they sound.
No, but do you use two different cleansers? Do you use a cleanser for your makeup and a cleanser for your skin?
Yeah, you need like a balmy, oily one to get it.
So I use, at the moment, because I'm very lucky and I went into the offices recently, I've got Sunday Riley, a really beautiful wax, like...
Get out.
I know. Eject me immediately. I'm such a swine.
I have no idea what they're saying.
It's very expensive.
Okay, right, go.
And then, but, truthfully, somebody asked me this the other day, though, like, what's your favourite moisturiser? It's hands down Astral.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying.
Get yourself some Astral. It's like £5 for 500 grams.
Oh! There we go.
Yeah.
Top tip.
I feel like we should draw it to a close because we've got an after party to go to.
Yeah, yes. we've got some meats and cheeses to consume.
I mean, I'm ready for big onions.
Yeah.
This is the first podcast I've done where I've had a drink. I'd like to thank you for that.
How's it been? Have you enjoyed it?
I feel like we've been talking for 15 minutes. An hour and 18.
I know.
Helen is just desperate to stop doing this podcast.
No, I love eating and I've had a lovely time.
Have you had no tea?
It is no tea.
No, I had macaroni cheese at 5, curry at 7.
Was it in a pineapple? Is it a gamey pina colada?
Am I going to have to hollow out a piece of a
pina colada? Oh my god, pina coladas. As long as they taste like game.
I'm coming to your live show, and listeners, please, we should probably tell you about that. The Scummy Mummies go on tour, and I'm talking about them in the third person.
Yes, we have a series of live shows across the UK, and you can just go to scummymummies.com and click on live shows, and there's a whole list of shows. Some are sold out already. We sold out a show in a minute the other day.
Where was that one?
In Tunbridge Wells.
Okay, but
Brighton, we're doing it Christmas. And yeah.
This
sorts.
Is evergreen content, so let's just try and keep it relevant. But basically, if you want to get tickets to see Scummy Mummies, as soon as they announce it, buy those tickets. And I especially mean that for their Las Vegas residency.
Yes, which absolutely will happen.
And also, we should talk about, can we say that Helen's got a new, spin-off? She's doing a spin-off.
What the F?
On the Instagram, at Helen Wears a Size 18. And that's brilliant.
Right. Yes, I've seen this.
You say it.
Yeah, so basically, I'm doing a new sort of fashion project called Helen Wears a Size 18.
Why did you not call it project?
Because I'm trying to be British. We say project in Australia, I'm not gonna lie, but so I'm showing what high street fashions look like on a size 18 body, and it's had really wonderful responses. I've had lots of lovely messages from mums, especially mums who may have started off as a size 12 and now a size 18, and saying, oh, I couldn't possibly go back into Topshop or Zara or whatever. So I'm trying to find high street fashions that look good on bodies that look like mine. Yes. Big bangers, big bums, thighs that touch, etc.
And you're awesome and gorgeous, so thank you very much for that.
You are very welcome.
Because it is, the fashion industry is, and you put actually something up on this feed. I will put the link in it to... On the show notes, I will put a link to that particular Instagram feed, and which will be in iTunes. But you showed what the model looked like on the website, and the model is obviously like an emaciated size 8.
Yeah.
Not to be cruel.
No. She looked different. And what I'm basically trying to show is that models that the brands choose to represent their clothes with don't actually represent what some are, you know.
But you know, it's the same with beauty. You've got like a moisturising cream that's with anti-aging ingredients that's designed for 40-year-old, and they'll, like Kendall Jenner will do it, or they'll get some young girl, and Caroline Hirons has talked about this in a recent blog post where she's like, it's not okay. If the anti-aging ingredients are designed for people over 45, please do not show me a model who was in her 20s. It's not cool.
No, and I think this is the thing, is that people aren't stupid. Like, the brands provide clothes, especially like brands like Boden or M&S, they provide sizes up to size 22. Mm. They always choose to represent it with a size 10 model. And yet the average size is size 16. So why not choose a range of models?
Yes,
I think that's
exactly.
I'm not saying don't choose lots of people size 10, but, you know, the diversity of sizes is only a good thing.
And don't tag it as, like, plus size.
Oh, yes. That's one of my bugbears.
Like, ASOS, sorry to name you ASOS, but you obviously have great options, but they do tag...
The ASOS curve. It's like, well, no, that's your fat section.
Yes, there you are. That's for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's rubbish.
No.
You know, I feel, yes.
Yeah, yeah, you're pro. That's good. All right.
Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, do follow that. It's called Hill and Weir's Size.
I think it goes without saying. I can't speak now because how many glasses? So anyway, all of the links will be in the show notes. I encourage you all to go to the Scummy Mummies live shows because I might be there.
Yes, come.
Follow us on the social medias at Scummy Mummies.
Yeah, we're on
Don't
Twitter.
Drink too much Southern Comfort with someone you don't know very, very well.
Exactly. No. Boundaries.
Yes, exactly.
And don't do the lift with anyone either.
I mean...
No, I mean, I couldn't lift my right arm for a couple of days, but it's fine now.
I don't want to think about that.
Okay.
Ellie and Helen, I think the only thing to say as we end this podcast is that clearly we are now obviously best friends for life.
Yep, married. Yep.
And I will be putting your burps on my phone at the after party, which is happening in the kitchen in the next room with some hot salami.
I think this imminently. Is it.
I couldn't have actually imagined it any better than it was.
No, it was nice that we did it naked as well. I think really so.
And I felt free.
Yeah, and the hot tub's been awesome.
I felt free. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Please do go to the show notes to get all of the links to the Scummy Mummies and everything that we have discussed this evening. Bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Excellent. Rate, review, and subscribe. And tell your friends, tell all of your friends. Spread the word as if it's something really amazing that you've just heard about.
I'm going to sneeze.
Go.
The moment's gone.
No.
Okay, great.
Oh, that's... Okay, we'll end on that. We'll end on that.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, if you want to get in touch with the show, it couldn't be easier. Drop me an email at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or why not tweet me at Emma Guns or say something, send me a DM on Instagram where I'm also... at Emma Guns. And if you want to find out any more about the Scummy Mummies, just head over to the show notes on iTunes and emmaguns.com. All the links to everything that we mention will be there. Thanks again for listening.